and welcome to Future Tense and to my humble garage. Now, I'm a bit of a neat, organised person, but not when it comes to this area. There's piles of wood over in the corner, there's roofing bamboo down near the roller door, next to the desk I'm busy renovating, and in these boxes here, there's an assortment of bits and pieces which may one day come in handy for constructing something. In my spare time, I like to build things, and I also like to take things I've found and make them better. Now, futurist Alex Pang would call me a tinkerer. People who tinker, according to Mr. Pang, help us make for a better future. We'll hear from him a little later in the program, and we'll also tell you about an opportunity to get involved and share your stories of tinkering. But first, from the grease on your hands to the soil under your feet, or in your eyes, as the case may be.
Now to the huge orange dust storm that's been rolling through eastern Australia this morning. The storm has swept up enough dust every hour to fill thousands of semi-trailers and has blanketed Sydney in a grainy haze that's disrupted air traffic and port operations. It's a major health hazard for people with lung problems and is stripping valuable topsoil from farmers, as Timothy McDonald reports.
Sydneysiders were greeted with a few unusual sights when they woke up this morning.
Well, the first time I woke up was about 5 o'clock, and it was red. It was red and I could hardly see anything.
Just orange light.
It was like glowing red from under my curtains.
After I went out to put the garbage out, I noticed how, like, the cars were on, you couldn't see into them.
Yes, there's nothing like a huge dust storm sweeping up the eastern side of a continent to bring city dwellers face to face with the issue of soil degradation. Because let's face it, soil isn't something most of us normally turn our attention to. Planet-wise, our knowledge of soil is fragmented and dated, despite the importance good soil plays in growing our food. And much of the information we have dates from the 1960s. But now scientists from across the globe have come together to produce the first ever digital soil map of the entire planet. One of those involved, from the Australian end, is Professor Alex McBratney from the Faculty of Agriculture, Food and Natural Resources at the University of Sydney.
We really need this detailed soil information so that we can run the scenario models that people need to run to figure out how to solve some of these problems. Food, water, energy and climate security. And that's the real reason for it. So we're producing something at a much higher resolution than perhaps we might need today. But we think in 5 or 10 years' time, the 19-metre resolution that we're going to produce this at will be able to be modelled globally to look at where you might grow a certain crop most optimally, where you might grow the biofuels, where water or irrigation should be applied, maybe where it shouldn't be applied. These kind of very global issues. So that's the real rationale behind this.
And you're not starting from scratch, are you? I take it you're aggregating existing information.
I think it's very important to understand that in the first instance, what we're really doing is gathering up all the data that's been collected and generated over the last decades, half century, if you like. There's a lot of data out there which exists. Some of it's in information systems, in computerized systems, but a lot of it's still on paper. And so part of the strategy here is to gather what we call all the legacy data, to utilize all of that, to bring it all into a common framework, and to use that as the initial statement of what we know about the world's soils.
Now, constructing the global soil map will be no easy feat, and it won't be cheap either. It's estimated it'll cost $2 per square kilometre. And given that there are around 150 million square kilometres of planet Earth to map out, that's a total bill of approximately $300 million American dollars, or about 323 million Australian. Dr. Alfred Hartemink is the Global Soil Map Project's international coordinator.
Maybe 10 years ago it was thought that we know enough about soils and the mapping was over and many of the soil survey organisations throughout the world closed, right? That was a very big issue at the time, and soils were not on the agenda anywhere, not in the United Nations systems nor on many governments. Soils were simply not there. I think we've seen a major changes in the last couple of years. And for instance, we've just spoken to some of our American colleagues, and they say that in the Obama administrations, you don't need to tell them the importance of soils. They say, give us the information and give us you know, why it is the way it is. So there's an upsurge in the need for information. If you have a garden, you know that it is good to keep your soil in a fertile condition or in a good condition to grow whatever you want to grow. Same for, let's say, water management, of course, a very big issue in Australia, but also in Africa. The same for climate change, where it's very much realized that carbon and carbon dioxide are linked and related. So, and then in energy, I think when it comes to growing crops for biofuels, it's also very obvious that you need up-to-date information to make informed decisions on this all.
10 years ago, maybe the way that you would make soil maps is quite different. You go out in the field, have an air photograph, you draw some lines around, and you'd produce a paper map. Today, we're not really so much interested in the map rather than the raster representation of the data across the landscape. So now we'd have quite a different approach. We still would go in the field and collect some data about the soil, but we realise the soil is a part of the environment, and the other parts of the environment allow us to predict, to tell us what the soil is at the places where we can't actually go, and that's information about the topography. And in the last 10 years, the development of so-called digital elevation models allows us to do so much more. The development of satellite remote sensing allows us to do so much more. The development of technologies like gamma radiometrics, which sees into the Earth, which we couldn't do in the past, allows us to do so much more. So all of these together, along with some very fancy, if you like, prediction algorithms around neural networks or genetic algorithms, high-powered computing, allows us to tackle this kind of problem and work out, you know, what the soil is at places we can't go to, work out the uncertainty of that estimate. So that's the difference from 10 years ago, and that's what we're bringing to bear on this problem.
What a task. Makes you tired just thinking about it. Professor Alex McBratney there, and before him, Dr. Alfred Hartemig from ISRIC World Soil Information in the Netherlands. Now, I'm reliably informed that the digital global soil map won't be completed for several years yet, but they are sharing their findings as they go. And on our website, you'll find a link to theirs. And just out of interest, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation have donated $18 million to the project, specifically for the setting up of an African Soil Information Service in sub-Saharan Africa.